they're gonna have some extras. I don't know if I miscounted or what, but because last time I ended up ordering more, and I was trying to keep from doing that because it costs as much for shipping as it does for the book.
All right. Well, we got Chris and Patty not feeling well. They won't be here tonight. And Maureen's kind of wore out. So she won't be here. Other ones will run late. So anyway, we are going to begin here. Does everybody have a book? Did everybody get one? Okay. I said we did do this series another time, but they've redone the material, so it's not quite all the same. I'm gonna say, what's changed? but anyway, we're going to be looking at the names of God, 13 different names. There's maybe more than that, but these will be the main ones that I think you'll find them to be interesting and encouraging. The challenge is to remember them. So, okay, well, let's pray and we'll go ahead and get started. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for your word and its truth. We thank you now that we can look a little bit closer here at some of your various names. Help us to understand you better and even being able to find comfort and encouragement by these names as they explain to us a bit more of your character and what that means to us. We do pray for those that are not feeling well here tonight. I pray you'll continue to strengthen their bodies and we'll be able to see them with us again here soon. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Did everybody get... Okay. I don't know if you all got the text I sent out. John, you wouldn't got that, but Gail and her family are going to have what you might think of as a visitation on Saturday evening from 4 to 8 downstairs. And so if you want to see Gail, some of her family, I kind of let them do what they want with it. And so about 6:30, I'll share a few thoughts with them, but they're trying to leave as much time after that for some of his old friends and different people to share different things, or memories or whatever. And so they'll have plenty of time to be able to do that. But if that works for you, I'm sure she'd be glad to see some of you. Okay, so Journey into Knowing God. And we're going to look here at the God who created us. We see there in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, the word that we see, God, if we went back to the Hebrew language, we would find the word there, Elohim. And we're going to find, again, I was thinking about that. We all have different either names or titles. Can I pick on? Well, Bob's not here. I'll pick on Bob. So he's dad. He's husband. He's Nurse Zilke at work. Got a lot of different titles, as well as being called Bob or Robert, and maybe Michelle has some pet names for him. Don't know. Yeah, won't ask him here now. We've been picking on you, bud. So come on in. So each one of them has a little bit different meaning to them. Okay, and so same thing with God. We can't just give him one name and that covers all the bases. Okay, we're going to see. And there's another little sheet that I gave you, and I'll probably try to give you one for each one of the different names. It's just a little extra something that I... there might be some overlap with what we're talking about here today, but maybe it's something you can get a paper clip and stuff in the front or back or something. Maybe it'll be some help to you there. Okay, so this first one here, and... He talks about Solomon. He says Solomon says in his prayer as he dedicates the temple there in 1 Kings 8:27, "Behold, the heavens and the heavens of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house that I have builded." Okay, so the heavens can't contain all of God. Okay, he's everywhere. All right, and so Solomon's saying, if the heavens can't contain you, this temple that I've built, as awesome as it was, couldn't contain him. Same kind of thing. One name isn't adequate to describe God. And so we're going to look at, again, some of the primary names that we find in Scripture. 13 of them. Elohim. And it's really, it's translated God in most cases. There might be some other times where it's used in different ways. But we see it there in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And if you didn't know anything more from the lesson, and you just stop to think about God and the fact that he created the heavens and the earth, what would that tell you about him?
Well,
okay, he's the beginning. He started all this, all right? Now, that sounds like the kids, doesn't it? They've been in a squabble. He started it. No, he started it. scientists, Darwin, some others have tried to come up with a plan B, but they really got to do some stretching to make their bright idea work. Here it takes faith to believe that God did create, and yet we can look around us and we can see his creation. God did it. And in order to do that, okay, what do you have the power to create? What have you created here lately? Dinner. Okay. That's pretty important. And you got to do that a couple times a day for many, many years. All right. And okay. Now it took some energy, took a little bit of time, put that together. I don't know exactly what you had, but anybody want to take on? Okay. We got an earth. Anybody want to try taking on creating a new planet, new universe, solar system, stars, everything else that goes with it? Okay, and not taking millions and billions of years, as some of these guys are trying to say, how old things are. How did God make it happen? He spoke. Wow. All right. Now, don't you wish that worked that way with the kids? You speak and it happens. Straighten up. Clean your room. Yes. Yeah, he did it right the first time, didn't he? You know, we're trying to mess it up, but yeah, ours. Well, today's treasures, tomorrow's what? Garage sales, right? or a stop at Goodwill or wherever else you drop off this stuff. So yeah, and so we start to take the word apart a little bit. And as he mentions here, this God is mentioned some 2,600 times throughout just the Old Testament, okay? And but we look at the word itself and we start to take it apart, you know, the front half, the back half. El, just E-L, that's the idea of powerful, okay? Mighty, strength. Well, we say him, but if we were pronouncing it like they did, heem, okay? The I is kind of pronounced like an E. Heem. That's a plural ending. That's like adding S or ES onto a word, okay? Makes it plural. And we see some examples, and he gives one, and it's, you know, if you got your Bibles open, it's, you know, like the next page over, 126. Okay, and so, you know, my paper's curled under here. Can't read it all. All right, and God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Okay? So the point is, though, God said, "Let us." Now, does that mean there's many gods? Say no. No. Now, if there are gods, okay, just make sure they're small g. They're not the real thing. They're man-made gods, okay? And there are a lot of man-made gods out there. And it's not all little pieces of wood carved up where somebody's bowing in front of it. But God is, this is plural. And the reason behind that is it allows for Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Okay? One God, three distinct personalities. Okay, and he's one God though, and so it's kind of like a holy huddle. The Father, Son, Holy Spirit say, "Okay, let us make man in our image." Well, was he talking physical likeness? Can we be physically like God, the Father?
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Not in a physical image, though. We aren't little cookie-cutter Christians. God's spirit, so it's kind of hard to make us look like a spirit, right? But there's more to his image than that, and his character, and we'll see some of that as we go along here. But as he mentions here, there's this 126. Let me just bring a couple more in there from over on that other page. Same, still in Genesis 11 here. 11:7. He says, "Go to, let us go down." Okay, remember they built the Tower of Babel and they thought they were going to build a tower up to God. He says, "Let us go down and there confound their language that they may not understand one another's speech." Okay, so again, we have this plural, okay, and we're talking about God. There, you know, it's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They're going to go down. They're going to confound this language. And there's some other ones in this other sheet here that you can kind of look up on your own. But again, there's one God. And he says this in Isaiah 45:5, I am the Lord and there is none else. Okay, there's no competition for God. Again, any that are out there are man-made gods. And we see a lot of them in the Old Testament, different ones, Baal and so on. But they were something that somebody made. It wasn't, they didn't exist ahead of time. And so, next page there, again, it talks about the Trinity and allows for the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to be a part of this. They were all a part of creation. They were all present at creation. We see this as true that of the Lord Jesus. If we look over to John, now we're just in the process of going through the book of John in our Sunday morning services. But he says there in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We identify who that is there in verse 14, that it's Christ he's referring to. The Word was made flesh. Well, the Father doesn't have flesh. The Holy Spirit doesn't have flesh, but Jesus Christ did. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so, you know, the Holy Spirit was there, the Father was there, Christ was there at the beginning. And we see that also mentioned there in chapter 1, verse 2. And the same was in the beginning with God. Okay, so Christ was there with the Father. They were all there. This is the same Word, you know, that we're looking at here. And one more that helps us to see that Christ was a part of all of this. Because, see, sometimes people are big into talking about God, you know, God this, God that, and they kind of don't talk too much about Jesus. Well, can you get to heaven without Jesus? No. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You can't get to heaven without Jesus. Okay? He's the way. And he's the one who went to the cross. He's the one who became that sacrifice for us. He's the one who shed his blood for us. And so it's important that Jesus is in this, all right? And it tells us that Jesus was there in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. It's been talking about Jesus here in the previous verse. It says, who is in the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, or principalities or powers, all things are created by him and for him. Okay, so God is the creator. He didn't, what do they do when they have a construction crew? They sub it out. They have subcontractors. Well, God didn't have any subcontractors to create the earth. He did it all by himself. And by themselves, I guess I should be saying. He spoke it into existence by his power. And again, that in and of itself shows the power of God. You know, it wasn't like, well, it took him a million years to get all the bits and pieces that he needed to build this old earth together, you know, and then it took another million years to build that. You know, I mean, it wasn't like Noah, you know, that took him 100 years to build the ark. It didn't work like that with God when he created this earth. He spoke, he brought it into existence, and so we see that awesome power that is there. And, you know, because, I mean, we look out and we, I don't want to get too far into creation, but it was, how do they say that? Apparent age, okay? Not apparent like husband, wife, parent of children, but apparent. It was visibly aged. When Adam was created, God didn't create a little bitty Adam run around in diapers for, you know, and finally grew up to be a man. No, he was a grown man. When God created the fish and everything else, they were not all just little bitty tadpoles, little dinky things. They were full-size animals. The trees, there would be full-size trees. They didn't all just start out as little dinky seedlings somewhere. Okay, and so God creates all this. And it really kind of boggles your mind. and it ought to, because that demonstrates God's power. And so here we have his, well, he mentions too, he says, can you think of biblical names that end with El? Okay, again, thinking powerful, or, and he uses the example of Israel, used some 1800 times in the Bible. And again, God has been a part of Israel, just like you look at some of the different names of places there in Israel. Bethel, that was a place of worship where they worshiped the Lord. Well, okay, so let's look a little bit further here on the meaning of Elohim. And as he says here, creator, sustainer, creates and sustains everything that exists, okay? There's nothing out there God didn't make, okay? So, okay, that being true, how does that relate to us? What difference does it make in my life? And so we want to look here at three ways. We're going to just look at two here and stop. But the first one, he says, we're wonderfully created. And he quotes the psalmist here in Psalm 139:14. He says, I will praise him, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Let's think about that. You know, I mean, we're adults here. We're you stop and think about how this baby starts out. I mean, it's something we got to look at a microscope to be able to see this egg and the sperm come together. And next, you know, 9 months later, we've got a baby, you know, 6 to 8, however many pounds it ends up being, you know, wonderfully created. And as he said here, somebody said, God don't make no junk. That's not very good English, but, you know, God knew what he was doing when he created us. And sometimes it boggles my mind how people can believe that we started out as some little something in a scummy pond, and then we became a tadpole, and then we finally got some legs and crawled on the land, and, you know, a few million years later, we're looking like a monkey and swinging through the trees, and here we are today, you know. And you look for their evidence, and I can't remember which man it was now, but you've studied some of this stuff going through school, but, you know, they find a tooth, and then they create a man, what they think this man looked like, and all they had is a tooth to start with. And then it turns out it's a pig's tooth. It's not even a man's tooth, you know. And, yeah. And then he brings up, and, you know, this is, I don't know that much about DNA, but has any of you sent off your swab to find out? Did you? Okay, find out. Maybe you don't want to know, but who all your ancestors are. You know, because it's funny, because sometimes people say, oh, that they were Scottish and all this stuff, and they find out, nah, there's no Scottish blood in there. You're from Italy, you know? but, yeah, and he talks about Everybody's DNA is different. You know, everybody's fingerprints is different. And I was curious of this, and I these are probably older. Well, that was from 2021. But I look, how many people are in the world? It says there are 7.8 billion people in the world. Okay? And everyone's DNA is different. Everybody's fingerprints are different. Wow. You know, we have trouble trying to, with license plates, trying not to have the same numbers or something, you know. I mean, it's just amazing. And you got people dying, you know. And I don't know if God uses any fingerprints that people died from, you know. Oh, mine's the same as Moses. No, I don't think so. Well, he didn't need them anymore, right? but it's just down to the nitty-gritty stuff in our lives. And that's all by accident. You know, it just happened that way. I mean, wow. So, I don't know the fellow that wrote this book, Tommy Hegel, but he sounds a lot like me in the sense he says, I'm average. I have average IQ. I have average athletic ability, for less average musical ability in golfing. I play army golf. You know what that is, don't you? Left, right, left. It goes the balls in. Anyway, yeah, you don't go golfing with me. You get tired of waiting on me. You know, but God created us all with a purpose. He's got a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us. And we fit into God's plan. It isn't like, oh, we got another one. What should we do with this one? I don't know. I'm running out of ideas. No, God knew what he was going to do with us before we ever got here, right? And I like what he says here to Moses. Okay, so tells Moses, I want you to go back to Egypt and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And Moses comes up with a grocery list of excuses. God, I can't do that. I can't talk well, you know. And God says, who made your mouth? Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, he does start out, okay, we'll help Moses out a little bit. And so he gets his brother Aaron to start speaking a little bit to begin with. But pretty soon you don't hear anything about Aaron anymore. Moses is right in there doing it all. And so God can give us the ability to do what he wants us to do. Okay? It may or may not be everything that we want to do in and of ourselves, but we'll be able to do what God wants us to do. And so he's given a, that's true of all of us. And we might be using an excuse. Well, I really find it difficult to talk to people about the Lord. And well, again, who made your mouth? Who made your brain? He can help you out if you'll look to him and ask for the help that you need. Many touches on this idea of none of us are perfect. Okay, now maybe you ladies thought before you got married you were dating Mr. Perfect. Then you got married and found out that he wasn't. Or it could be the other way around, right? Why do you think God might allow for some, well, I mean, God made us the way he wants us, but we might look at it as a flaw, okay? Why might there be some flaws in our lives? If you got a weakness of some kind or another, what do? You work on it, and maybe you have to ask for some help, right? You know, God, you know, we've talked about this before, but we try to raise our kids so they'll grow up and be independent and be able to go out on their own, you know, kind of kick the birds out of the nest so they can fly on their own a little bit, all right? We're going to be their parents forever, though. But, yeah. God doesn't want us to try to live independent of Him. He wants us to be dependent, you know, and He tells us where we're going to get the help. He says, you have not because you ask not. All right. Okay. So if you want to go without, just keep on doing everything all by yourself and don't bother asking God, you know, and you'll find out it's a tough life. But God uses ordinary people. He uses people like us, you know. What's the danger of somebody that, well, is either perfect, or at least they think they are? Pride. Okay. Pride goeth before a fall. We don't think we need God. I can handle it, God. You know, just step back. I can handle it. And we try, and then pretty soon we're flat on our face, and then God, can you help me out over here? You know? Yes, sir.
I believe, and I'm pretty sure it was Proverbs 8:32, a man that despises wisdom loves theft. In other words, God kind of like seek after His wisdom.
What did you say that was? Eight what? Well, it might be close by.
Yeah.
Oh, here, 33 says, hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Yeah, I was just listening to MacArthur on the way over here tonight, and he was talking about, you know, wisdom comes from above. You know, God's wisdom. If you're getting some other kind of wisdom, it didn't come from above, it came from below, you know. And, again, we have... We don't have to go too far in life. I mean, okay, as an adult, maybe you try to teach your kids things along the way so they'll know how to do things. And sometimes you try to help them out. You see that they're going to make a bad decision and you jump in and try to throw the mattress out for them so they don't get hurt. There are things. We learn things as we go along, all right? Was it? Okay, 836. Yeah. We need to keep on learning from the Lord. And none of us know it all. There are some people out there who think they know it all. But, you know, just hang around a while and you find out they don't. But, again, we can go to an awesome God, all-powerful God. You know, we're not just going to the... You know, old guy next door that, you know, has a little bit more experience than maybe we do. We're going to the creator, the sustainer of this universe, you know. And you think we're going to stump God? God, I got a problem. And he's going, wow, I never thought of that one before. I mean, I had people ask me, so I've never thought about that one before. But that's not gonna, you're not going to have that problem with God. And the thing is, not only does he, and we'll see different name or gods, talking about the wise God, but do you think God had to be pretty wise, though, to be able to create all this stuff? I mean, he didn't just stir it up overnight, and here we are, you know. We got a wonderful, powerful God that we have the privilege of going to, you know, and we're only a prayer away from the help that we need, and we keep that in mind as we think about Elohim, powerful creator God. All right. And he can help me out. All right. He wants to help us out. And we'll see more of that here coming up next week. All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're just scratching the surface here tonight as we think about Elohim and the creator, sustainer, God of this universe. The great power that it took to create and then to keep it going. As was mentioned, some of the stuff that we put together, you know, disintegrates, falls apart after a while. And, but that's not happening to your world. Man might be making some messes out of it, but you didn't create it that way. And you've kept it going, for all these thousands of years. And, we trust you're going to keep on keeping an eye on things and we can trust you not only with keeping the physical earth in order, but being there available to help us out in times of need. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So even if you didn't grow up with some big brother that's going to help you out, you got something better than that. You got Elohim.